The reading this morning is from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 9. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gift to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
So now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Just been reflecting a little bit as the service has been going on about the fact that God loves us and knows how many hairs we have on our head and how amazing that is. But it strikes me every time I go to the hairdressers that it's becoming a little bit less amazing every time. I hate that it's when she shows you the mirror and I'm like, no, I don't want to see the back. Anyway. We're talking this week and next week about giving. That's a lot of fun when you're the preacher because whether it's true or not, you definitely have this sense that you're talking to a group of people, most of whom don't really want to know. So hard luck. I'm going to do it anyway. Mark will be preaching here next Sunday morning on the same theme. And just so you know roughly what we're doing this week, we're thinking about how much we should give. Get ready for that. And next Sunday, when Mark's here, he'll be talking to us about the joy of giving. Because it is a joy, honest. So from our passage this morning, I want to bring out two points. And I'm going to say them again and again and again in the hope that by the end of it, you've understood what I'm trying to say. So the first message from this passage that I want to pick up on this morning comes from verse 6, which in this translation says this. The point is this. It's always helpful when it's pointed out to you what the point is. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully or generously, as it was in the version that we had read to us. The one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The one who sows generously or bountifully will reap bountifully. If you come to this church regularly, you will know that I don't really do gardening. It's a bit of a mystery to me, which is a bit of a problem because the Bible's full of agricultural illustrations. But I know enough to know this, that if you've got, if you're a farmer and you've got a big bowl of seed, if you take one seed out and you plant it, you're not going to get as good a harvest as if you take lots of seeds and plant lots of them. I mean, you get real depth of insight when you come to this church. And that's true with our giving, with our money. If we are generous, then somehow the way the world works and the way that God works, we reap generously. If we are stingy, we don't. And this goes counter to our culture. Our culture says, "What the little bit that I have is mine, I've got to keep hold of it, because if I don't keep hold of it, I won't have anything at all." But actually, that's not what the gospel teaches us, not what the Bible teaches us. For some reason and somehow, being generous is something that is honoured by God. So some of the things that can stop us doing that, again, in our society, a question that I want to ask you is, are you acquisitive? Are you always looking out for the next thing that you can have? Paul says in one of his letters, "If I have food and clothing, then I will be content. That's enough." Now, I don't know if that's a challenge to you, but it's blooming a challenge to me this morning. If I have food and clothing, then that's enough. I think the list of things that I would like, at which point I will be satisfied and have enough, is quite considerably longer than that, and I rather suspect that yours is too. But Paul says, if I have food and clothing, that will be enough. If that's all you need, then it's really easy to be generous, because most of us have enough for food and clothing, and then anything else you can give away. So are we acquisitive? Are we always looking to get more, or do we need to ask God to help us to not be like that, to be content with what we have? And this is a challenge to me and Catherine at the moment. Catherine, when we first moved to Mansfield, she was working for Childline, and she was earning more money than me, and it was very nice. And then Martha came along, and Catherine has decided to stay at home with Martha. And we've been doing that thing that, you know, you do, living in denial that that's the case, and just, you know, carrying on spending our money as if there was no tomorrow. And we suddenly had this realization about a week or 2 weeks ago that this has got to stop. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. And so we had to do a budget, which is very scary. And because it's me, we have a computer program that manages our budget. And we have apps on our phones so that we always know how much money we've got and all the different headings. And it's all very exciting. Now, it would be very easy to look at that and say, well, you know, our giving is quite a chunk. And we could spend that on going on holiday, or we could spend that money on other exciting things, because giving's just a bit boring, isn't it, really? But we want to be people who sow generously, and so we've decided not to do that. And I'll tell you a bit later what we have decided to do. But we, you know, in that situation, we have to say that being generous and giving is more important than some of the other things that we could have instead. And that's a challenge to us this morning. So the first point is this: if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. That's not me saying it, Paul says it, so it must be true. And if you sow generously, you will reap generously. Second point I want to make is in verse 7. And verse 7 says this: each of you must give as you have made up your mind. This is a better version, because it doesn't say each man, because Sorry, women in the church, you have to give as well. So it's a better translation to say, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind. Now, if I was in some churches this morning, I'd be standing here saying, unless you give 10% of all your income to this church, then you're not a proper Christian. And that would make life quite easy for you, wouldn't it? Because you could either agree with me and just give us 10% of your income, or you could just think I was a complete nutcase and just, you know, not give us anything. And the choice would be yours. It would be quite a simple choice to make. But you don't get out of it that easily. What Paul says is each should give what they have decided in their heart to give. You've got to make a choice about what you give, and specifically thinking this morning about what you give to the work of this church. Now that means that there's lots and lots of questions that people often ask when you talk about giving, and I don't have to answer any of them, which is fantastic. So people say, should I give a percentage of my income? And the one that comes up often is 10%. Or should I give an amount of money? Well, the answer to that is that each of you must decide in your heart what you will give. I can't tell you the answer to that. Many people find that 10% is a good kind of benchmark point, but you don't have to give 10%. And then if you do decide to give on a percentage, you know, you might decide 7% or 15 or 10 or 12. And then people say, well, do I have to do that before tax or after tax? Well, do you know what? The answer to that is that each of you must give what you've decided in your heart to give. So for some people, they say, well, the money that the tax man takes, I never see that money. You know, most of us, it gets taken off before we get our pay. We never see that money, so I won't, you know, I'll give after tax. Some people say, I'll give after tax, but I'll gift aid it. So that's essentially the same as giving before tax. And some people say, I'll just give before tax. Whatever. Do you know, to be honest, I don't mind whatever option you choose and whatever arguments you use to decide that. But each of you must give what you have decided in your heart to give. And then some people say, well, do I have to give all my money to the church? Or all the money I've decided to give? Obviously, don't give all your money to the church, unless you really want to. But anyway, pretend I just didn't say that bit. Right. So people say, I've decided to give. Do I have to give all of that to the church? Or can I give to other good causes? Well, I think you probably know what the answer to that is, but just in case you haven't caught up yet, the answer to that is that each of you must give what you've decided in your heart to give. So we don't give all the money that we give away to the church. We give some of it to other things. But you must make that decision for yourself. It's really, basically, all I'm saying is you have to be grown up about it. This is a decision that you get to make. I don't get to make this decision for you. Now, some of you this morning will be feeling cross with me, and some of you will be feeling a bit uncomfortable. Now, if you're feeling cross that I'm even talking about giving, then the good news about this message, that each of you must give what you've decided in your heart to give, is that that anger is misdirected if you're directing it at me. It's not my fault. You must give whatever it is that you've decided. I'm not telling you you've got to give this much and then you can be cross with me because I've told you that what you must do. What I'm telling you to do is decide for yourself. Pray about it. Think about it. Ask God what he is asking of you and make that decision. So if you're cross this morning that we're even asking about money, then you need to go and take that to God. You can bring it to me if you want, but I'll just tell you that you've got to make that decision for yourself. So you might want to save yourself the effort. So the final thing is this on that. So next week we're going to give out packs, and they'll have a form in that we're asking you to send back. The only person who will see those forms is me, because I'm our acting treasurer at the moment. I'm wearing multiple hats. And I don't care what's on those forms. Okay, what's written on those is not going to be the source of gossip around the office. I wouldn't have thought they'd get, they only give that much. It's not going to be like that. And the important thing for you to know is that I don't get to judge you on what you write on that form. So the first box on that form says, I am unable to give at this time. If you tick that box, I don't get to judge you. If you decide to give us £150,000 next year, I don't get to judge you. I don't get to go, oh, wow, that's amazing. I don't get to do that. That's not my job. Because you must decide for yourself what you want to give. Have I made that point? I think I might have done. So what the scripture teaches us is that if you sow generously, you reap generously, but that each of you must decide for yourself what you will give. Now, if I do that, it makes some noise. I better not do that, no. I'm a bit of a skeptic in general. I'm sure you'll be surprised to hear that. And so I've been a Christian for 25 years. I've heard lots of giving sermons. And only once has the person who's given the sermon then said what they themselves do. And all the other times I've sat there and thought, I bet they don't give hardly anything. I bet they don't practice what they preach. And so, in the interest of honesty and openness, I'm going to tell you today what Catherine and I do. I'm not going to give you pounds and pence, but I'm going to tell you basically how we've made that decision. Not so that you can copy and make exactly the same decision, or not so that you can go, oh, aren't they generous, or oh, aren't they stingy. But just so that you know that I've thought about this, and I have done what I'm asking you to do this morning. And Mark is going to do the same next week so that you can tell that we do something different. We had this conversation. Hopefully he'll remember to tell you next week. But we had this conversation and what we do is different. And we wanted you to know that because there isn't a right or a wrong answer because each of us has to decide for ourselves. So I have money that comes into my bank account from four main things. I have my stipend, which is equivalent to a salary. This is what I get paid for my Sunday job. I have a house that we used to live in Watford that now has some people who are not us living in it, and so they pay us rent, which helps pay off the mortgage on it. Because we have Martha, we get tax credits and we get child benefit. So they're the four ways that money comes into our bank account. The decision that we've made is that I give 10% of my stipend to the church, and my decision on that is I give that before tax. The reason I do that is clergy tax is really complicated. My life is too short to work it out. So, you know, that's not necessarily like a particularly holy reason I've decided that. It's just, you know, for administrative ease on my part, I give 10% of my stipend before tax. Now, all those other bits of income, they all go up and down, and it's all variable. I don't know if anyone else here has ever claimed tax credits. But you seem to get a new letter every week telling you what they've changed it to now, and whatever. So there are three other organisations that we support on a regular basis, and we give them a fixed amount of money. So, you know, I give a percentage on my stipend and then this fixed amount of money, which is kind of covers all my other income, really. So we give some money to Soul Survivor, which is where I used to work before I came to do this. We give a bit of money every month to a Compassion Child that we sponsor. And we also give some money to Childline, because Catherine used to work there. And we think Childline's a good thing. It helps bring the kingdom of God by helping rescue children in difficult situations. And so we give to them. And that's what we've decided to do. You will decide something different, no doubt. But each of us has to decide for ourselves what we're going to do. And so I share that with you, not so that you can go, oh, isn't he generous? Or, oh. But just because I think it's fair that if I'm asking you to do that, that you know that I've done that work myself. And that's it, really. It was a short sermon this morning, which is good, isn't it? So two things that I want you to remember as you go home. And then I'll just mention a couple of practical things, if I remember. So a couple of things. So the things I need you to remember are, the Bible tells us that if we sow generously, we reap generously. So I just want you to remember that. That's not my way of kind of guilt-tripping you. It's what the Bible says. And at this church, we say, that, you know, we take the way we live from what the Bible says. So we believe that to be true. And the second thing is, each of you must decide. And in the past, kind of, we've made that making a decision a bit voluntary. But this year, if you are on our electoral roll, you will get a letter next week. And it will have your name on it and it will have your address on it. So if you don't come to church, we'll post it to you. And in it, there will be a form asking you to tell us what decision you've made. They will come to me and they will be confidential. I won't share that information with anyone else. And when we will know who has sent their forms back, and if you haven't, we will ask you to send it back. We're not going to chase you for months and months and months, but we are going to ask, and we might send someone to ring you up and say, "Can I come and collect it?" Because it will be in an envelope, you know, but they won't be able to tell what you've written on it or anything like that. But we'd like to force you in some ways to think about it and make a response. So that's what's going to happen this week. Hopefully, as you came in, you were given a leaflet. What have I done with it? There it is. You were given one of these, and this has got five readings on it. So if you've been doing E100, you'll be used to this idea of reading a bit of the Bible every day and having a bit of a pray. So this has got five readings on it about giving and generosity. If you haven't got one that's got that on it, then we might have mixed up different types of leaflet at the back. So if you go and get the right one. But it's got five readings on it, one for each day and 2 days when you don't have to. And what we're asking you to do this week is to read it, to pray, and to consider. And then next week we'll give the forms out and there's a chance to respond. So that's it, really. So I'm just, before I hand back to Eileen, I'm just going to say again, just to remember that if you sow generously, you reap generously. But each of you must decide for yourself. And not me or anyone else in this church has any right at all to judge you for the decision that you make. Amen.